It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. This is Slogging It. All three of us back in the UK. We've had a 25-minute chit-chat just about what we've been doing over the past 7 days, and it's a pleasure to be coming in your ears once again. Right, gentlemen. Well, first off, as we always start, how have we been? Eugene.
Easter weekend was lovely. Nice long weekend. I think everyone enjoyed it. We had Friday and Monday off. So you do what you do. You have a barbecue or a braai.
And say first braai of the season, right?
Well, I've had like seven, but yeah, the first one that I've invited friends around. It's been too cold for the other lads to sit outside with me. So Saturday, it was a balmy 13 or 14 degrees and a few people sitting outside. So yeah.
Very nice. Simon?
Had a very nice weekend, thank you. Yeah, the in-laws have been up. We had loads of kids knocking about.
I thought you said you had a nice weekend.
Yeah, it was nice, yeah.
All right. I wasn't sure that nice and in-laws went together.
No, it's been good, mate. It's been good.
Not just for you, for anybody.
No, I understand what you're saying. I know you're trying to get a nibble, but no, it's been very nice. Actually, yesterday, I had an interesting event yesterday where we went to a children's rave, which was odd. It was in what used to be a nightclub. It's now in a Revolution de Cuba, or the chain bar slash whatever's are available, such as Revolution. If you want, just go to a less Cuban one. So they've obviously got one here in Nottingham, and we went, but it was brilliantly organized. It was hectic. The queue to get in was bigger than the so it used to be. This place used to be a nightclub called Long Island and a bar called Long Island when back in my youth. And the queue to get in at 2 o'clock for the opening was far bigger than it was when it was a nightclub. And people had far more clothes on than it ever had done when it was a queue for a nightclub. But no, it was quite a lot of fun, actually. There was just playing dance music from like the early noughties in the room upstairs, loud as well. So all the dads were there with kids on.
This was a party.
Sorry?
Yeah, this was a party for toddlers, yes, just to add a bit of context as well.
But obviously, and the bar was open.
And the bar was open, yeah. £4 a pint of Moretti. It was absolutely joyous. So within my group, all the dads are stood there with the kids on the shoulders, like going mental to Sandstorm by Darude. And it was just fantastic. Hectic, though. Lots of children. I did think there ought to have been a notice on the door that said, right, it's a zonal marking policy. If the children are in your area, you're looking after them. Because they were just, you got...
Regardless of whether they're yours or not, I imagine.
And basically, there should have been some kind of agreement that as long as you left with the same amount you came with, like, numbers could be exchanged and things could be swapped over afterwards, because it was absolutely manic. But yeah, it was a lot of fun and very strange, but a lot of fun.
Well, I've kind of hunkered down this weekend, having returned from India on Friday. I've managed to get away with it from a health point of view. You know, no deli belly. You know, I was a bit worried that maybe I needed to stay indoors just in case I did come down with anything. But no, I've been lucky. So, but I must say, what a country India is. Like, it was just the most
unbelievable experience. And I would implore anybody who hasn't been to go. And I think your eyes will be open, because I think a lot of people have probably a preconceived idea of what it might be like. And in some ways, it probably is that, but in a lot of ways, it's very, very different. So, yeah, wonderful, wonderful experience.
So they allowed you in, yeah?
Right. Yes. Yeah. The BCCI, some have either got lazy or complacent. And yeah, I managed to slip through the net.
Or
did I discuss my e-cigarette situation last week? So that was the only issue encountered, to be fair. The BCCI may well have had something to do with that. But yeah, otherwise, an absolutely wonderful few days out.
Eugene,
not long enough. I can't wait to go.
Eugene,
back.
Do you think the only reason he's saying nice things about India is that was a condition of them releasing him out of the country?
And at a specific time, as in it had to be a short trip, because he was there for, 5 days? And no longer. That was it. That was the permutation.
Yeah.
He was allowed.
Yeah. On the ground for about 4 days in the end, I was. Yeah. But yeah, just, I'll tell you where I went. So I was up in Jalandhar, which is northwest, and then I flew back from Amritsar. So near Amritsar, or in Amritsar, there's a thing called the Golden Temple. So it's in the Punjab region, which is very Sikh heavy in terms of from a religious point of view. And because what I was with one of my investors that is a Sikh, we went to with his family to this place called the Golden Temple, which is just the most nuts thing. And the thing that I loved about it, so the Sikh religion are all about kind of helping each other, and it's very much community-led and stuff. This place feeds 100,000 people a day, right? Regardless of stature or money or what these people are capable of, it's a very much a religious thing where anybody can go and eat for free. So they feed 100,000 people a day here for nothing. And it's all based on donations. But then when they have like big Sikh religious festivals, they can see up to 1 million people a day go through this place. It's absolutely nuts. So to go into the actual Golden Temple itself, we couldn't actually do it because we're a bit short on time, but the queue to get into this place that's where they can do the holy prayers was 4 hours long. It's mental. But the place and the experience, we had a walk through the museum, which a lot of kind of art depictions of the Sikh religion over a period of time and the things that they've been through and stuff, but it was mesmerizing, really. It was absolutely fantastic. So yeah, I can't say to people enough that you really need to go and visit India, because it's a brilliant place, regardless of my thoughts on the BCCI. But yeah, another thing obviously we want to cover, I mean, IPL.
Yeah,
right, we've just done that, about
but that's about it.
The what?
The BCCI have done the IPL, right? That's about it.
Yes. Well, I mean, we've known for a long time that this is the world's number one cricket tournament or cricket franchise tournament. The biggest in terms of numbers, like the TV rise money is mind-boggling. But, I mean, this year, it seems to have gone to a completely different level in terms of the skill level. Like, I'm really, I know all three of us are really, really enjoying watching what it's bringing to the table this year, because the quality of cricket in the tournament side is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite scary for the rest of the world, if I'd be completely honest, when it comes to short format cricket or any form of cricket, because the young Indians that they've seemed to just be churning out, look very, very good. I mean, I think there's been one lowish score. There's one got one score of 125, plays 100 and whatever. But everything else has been 140 minimum. Most of it's been around 170, 180. You're 203 thrown in, which is a steady effort. But yeah, I mean, you talk about the TV rights. I read something the other day that the TV rights for one game of the IPL is the equivalent of the entire Pakistan Super League, which...
As in money coming in or viewing or what do we...
As in that's what the rights package for one game was the equivalent of the whole rights package for the Pakistan Super League. So the money that is being generated from this thing is nuts. The standard of cricket this year has been excellent.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. Do you remember, just talking TV rights quickly, Robert, do you remember when it was televised in the very early days of the IPL on Channel 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, and ITV4, I remember watching it on.
Random channels that I don't think they would have paid very much for the TV rights, but it just shows you, if you grow the game organically like they've done, it's just unreal.
I think it's something to do with the BCCI as well, because you do sometimes find a lot of the tours to India seem to go down to the wire on who's running. Like you look at the England Test Series this year, it was no one knew who was having it until 3 days before TNT or BT Sport, whatever they're called now, ended up winning it, but not actually having anyone in place to do it for the first test. So they had no staff to cover it. They were just going straight off the Indian footage and then playing adverts over everything else. So I think there is a little bit to do with the BCCI and how they were their TV rights and stuff like that. But you look at, like, now in this country, Sky have got it and it's enormous. They've got special programs on it. They're running everything with it. The commentators that they've got out there are the thing that I quite like about what they've done is you look at the umpires. They're all the best. It's the best umpires in the world. Like you look at the commentators. They're the best commentators in the world. It's the overseas players and pros. Like you'd argue that a couple of, well, I don't know if you could argue about it in a minute, but the players that are playing it are the best in the world. Like, this doesn't seem to be any doubts about that at the minute. If you're in the top 50 players in the world, you'll be getting a gig there. So there's no doubt. And this is one of the things that I'll go back to. I've harped on before about there being average T20 competitions around the world. This is the kind of thing that means that, do we actually need that many? And I know I'm not saying that people shouldn't be able to earn a living, but it puts me off watching a lot of the other stuff when you've got cricket of the caliber that's being played at the minute, big players scoring runs, taking wickets, bowling well. Like you look at Trent Bolt and the other left-arm teamer that playing in that game.
Andre Berger.
The other day, you got Virat Kohli scoring big runs. You've got Rohit Sharma scoring runs. You've got Josh Butler doing well. You've got the big players, the big player. Klassen, you could form an argument, is the best T20 batter in the world at the minute. He's certainly in the top four or five. He might be in the quiz later next to Gary Kirsten.
Good old GK. Not to be confused with DK.
No, but he's still shown he can play. This is the thing that I don't like the Indians. It doesn't matter whether they're right at the start of their career and they're 18, 19. Yeah. They pulled an 18-year-old West Indian out, haven't they, from somewhere? Or 18-year-old South African. They've dragged him in as if he's opening the bowling now in the IPL.
19. Yeah.
I mean, they're scouting. Obviously, we know with South Africa that a lot of the franchises have got bases in South Africa and it's part of the SA T20 and whatever. So then no doubt they're getting there. And what they're doing now, by the looks of it, is they're getting 17, 18-year-olds to buy into this contract idea. It just seems to be heading where we all thought it was.
Well, they're protecting themselves for a long time, aren't they, by doing that? It's quite a shrewd move. I mean, you talking about blokes not only at the start of the career, but in the kind of twilight, if you like. Ajinkya Rahane, it was always known as a bit of a kind of steady middle order player when he was certainly in the test side, like could soak up pressure and you know, do that job in the red ball game, but smoking it the other night and then taking like full length diving catches, running, charging in 25 yards from the boundary edge, phenomenal. It's amazing to see. When you talk about, you know, is there too much T20 cricket being played? I saw something on Instagram earlier, David Visa. You know, it's obviously there's been an approach from some kind of Canadian T20 franchise league. And he's basically gone, like, I've got no problem with guys earning a living, but where does this stop? Like, you know, there can only be so much. And I think what the IPL has got and has created for itself is this now, it's so far above the rest of them in terms of the prestige. And I think that's why we're seeing the quality of cricket that we're seeing. Like, how many times have we said on this podcast, you look at the Big Bash, and actually when it comes to the crunch end of the Big Bash, all the lads are fucked off to go and play somewhere else because the contracts are as such that they can go and play six games here and then disappear to something else because then that's the way that they earn more money. Whereas the IPL, no one's leaving the IPL because that's how you prove yourself to be one of the best players in the world, because you are playing against the best players in the world. You know, yes, Ben Stokes, Joe Root, Harry Brook, a few of the other English lads, for whatever reason, have decided not to go this year. Probably down to the English lads' workload. But you know, you kind of look at it and watch it, as I did a lot last week when I was out there, because the timings and stuff would allow me to. But it's, you wonder how it can get any better, really, even with those lads in it. I mean, obviously, people like Harry Brook, I mean, you see him, that he was smashing it everywhere against Durham in the Yorkshire pre-season game this week on a green, slightly probably damp one. But so there are X-Factor players who aren't there. But even with the quality of the, you know, like you talk about these young Indians who just come in and fit in seamlessly and play probably as well as, I mean, Harry Brook had a bit of a horror IPL last year, didn't he? And he's,
he got 100, he got 100, audition, didn't he? But, and then, well, that
would, yeah. I mean, other than, you know, some of these young Indian lads are absolutely,
yeah,
well, fearless. But then, you know, we talked, I think maybe even last week, maybe in the last couple of weeks, what that does for Indian cricket, because all of a sudden they cut their teeth playing in front of 90,000 people in the IPL. So then playing in front of 60,000 people or 25,000 people at Lords, they're not fazed by it. So, you know, you look at Indian cricket, I mean, how strong is that going to be now for forever, really? They, you know, this could have bought India the golden ticket to all format cricket for a long time.
I think it's, there's two things that, the reason it's breeding the players is breeding. Sorry, Eugene, like, you can dive in a minute. But the thing with me, look, they've got the whole thing sorted. The Indian players that they've got in, they've got MS Dhoni playing, they've got Dinesh Karthik playing, they've got Ajinkya Rahane playing, they've got, until last year, Chris Gayle was playing in it. Like, you've still got these guys that know exactly what they're doing. And even to the sense, like, you look at some of the other overseas players, like, they're sort of out of the back end of their careers. Like, Trent Bolt, for example, is there and doing well in it. And then you look at the coaching structures that they've got. Like, the guys that are doing the coaching, it's a who's who of cricket. I mean, one side's got rid of Brian Lara. Brian Lara has withdrawn this year, and they've got Daniel Vittori in. Like, it's just a checklist of keep reeling off the best up-and-coming coaches from around the world. And so you're marrying up the best coaches who are, because of the situation in cricket at the minute, are all ex-players, combined with a raft of very experienced, very highly qualified, very capable senior players. And you put in a 19-year-old with an abundance of talent who, through, because of the way the coaching is out there, hasn't been coached by a textbook, who's confident in what they're doing, and all that stuff. You're just giving them everywhere they turn in that at the minute. But you'd think, imagine walking in and Ricky Ponting, and you've got these guys that are on your coaching staff, and then you bat him with MS Dhoni, Dinesh Karthik, Quinton de Kock, like, all these guys. I mean, Quinton de Kock played an unbelievable innings the other day. If you're an 18, 19-year-old Indian that's got in that squad as a batter, even if you're not playing, next year when you get a game, you're going to have seen and worked with these guys and been coached by Gary Kirsten, not as a piss take, for example, but he is one of the best coaches, probably in the top two or three coaches in the world at the minute. And you're only ever going to improve. And this is one of the reasons why I can't understand why someone like Harry Brook, the guy's, yes, he's not 18, 19 anymore. He's 24, 25. But is it, what are you doing? What's the point?
I think it was family stuff, though, wasn't it? But
for me, it's a bit like, right, I get what they were doing at the start with the IPL and when they were nervous about it and when you, before the Kevin Peterson stuff and what he wanted to do. But why are we not pushing our young lads? They're doing the SAT20 when you get Breedis and all these guys coming through and going, no, you're opening the batting. Why are we not doing that within our structures to give these young guys a push to maybe get them a gig in the IPL? Because that 17-year-old South African lad will be opening the bowl of South Africa in 4 years' time.
Yeah. I mean, big shout out for Luke Rudge, who we know, Simon, who obviously got out and played for the Mumbai Indians. Could I raise an unpopular opinion? Well, certainly unpopular within, you know, one cricket group that I'm in. All of a sudden, from nowhere, because he used to be brilliant as a kind of, not a commentator, but a kind of summariser of the game. But I think all of a sudden, I've listened to him in the IPL this year, I think KP is turning himself into a proper cricket commentator. Now, a lot of people disagree with me, but I think that is because they don't like KP the man. But I think if you were just to sit there without knowing who he is, any of his record or anything, I actually think he's now a voice of the game, even doing ball-by-ball stuff that people can listen to and actually like respect. I think KP's got a real good, long-standing career in broadcasting ahead of him because I think he's improving a lot.
I said that about 4 years ago. I thought that, you know, his style, his approach, it wasn't all about him. As soon as he made it not about himself, then he became a good commentator. Yeah. And that's, I think, the thing that he's learned. I really enjoyed him when he was in the SAT20. He's been really good in this IPL. I'm sure he'll be around for the Cricket World Cup from that perspective. Mm. Just picking up on a couple of the England guys that you're missing. Did you see that Jay Roy missed out on the 100? I don't know if you guys picked that up.
Yeah, he didn't get picked up, did he?
And the theory is that he's chosen, and you know, you were talking about the Big Bash and how you can leave halfway through the tournament. He's already signed for the American T20 League, right? Which is halfway through the 100. So I think there's going to be quite a big influence that happen on that 100. I think that the guys need to stay for the full duration of the tournament, not being able to pop in and out. But I get it.
We've said that for a long time. Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree with you. I think one of my biggest problems, you know, both from a fan of cricket perspective, but also from the owner of a cricket bat manufacturer, is you look at the game, or I look at the game, and it's become mercenary. Now, you guys have heard me harp on about this for years and years now, even before we started doing the podcast. Everything is about money. Like, how much money can you earn? There's zero loyalty in cricket at that professional end. Not really, from an amateur perspective. So one of the challenges as a manufacturer is, okay, how do you create loyalty with your clients? And it can't just be about quality, because people have got the right to go and try something else, and you hope that they will come back. But, you know, people want different flashy colored stickers or whatever, or a bigger discount or whatever. But this is a bit of a problem, is the fact that, you know, the game has become mercenary. So I think if someone like Jay Roy is saying, no, I am going to commit to this, the ICC have got work to do with this as well, because, you know, the Big Bash is arguably the second biggest T20 franchise tournament in the world, isn't it? Right. It must be quite embarrassing for them that halfway through or two thirds of the way through, you get into that crunch end of the tournament where you want to see the best cricket, because it's the guys who've gotten into those eliminators or the 75 different playoffs that they have before you reach the final. But then all of the best players piss off because they can go and earn more money in the UAT20 or the Lankan Premier League or whatever. Now, it's a big problem, or the SA20, because that's one of the things that people have disappeared to. That's a big problem. So, like, is there any opportunity for someone? And the ICC is spineless, we know that. And they're controlled by the ECB, the ACB, and the BCCI. But at what point does someone actually go, hold on, this is now getting a little bit silly? Like, you know, these teams are paying out big money for people to get them through the preliminary stages, only for them then to go, thanks very much for my 160 grand for 4 weeks worth. I'm not going to go and earn another 160 grand for another 4 weeks work. And good luck to you.
I mean, let me turn that around on you. That's exactly what contractors do when working for themselves. They go out, earn the biggest money they can. How different is the contractor in IT, project management, sales, you know, whatever, versus cricket?
And
yeah, it's
we've had this argument a number of times, haven't we? Yeah. But I think it's looking at the two different sides of the coin. I'm obviously firmly on one side of it. I think I see the point, but I think it's difficult to draw parallels, I think, between the two different things. The two, for me, and you obviously disagree, there are two different sides of things. Now, if you are a contractor, yeah, fine. And these guys, as pros, are technically, in this scenario, contractors, because they're, let's take Jay Roy, for example, his employer is Surrey or the ECB, depending on what contract he's got at what particular time. So he has got the right to go out and earn the money that he wants to. But I think it's probably more on the franchises or the owners of the tournament, and go, look, you are being paid phenomenal amounts of money considering the amount of time that you're expected to be on the ground in any one given competition.
Per game, yes.
Yeah. But if you want to sign for us to play in this competition, let's say it's 160 grand and the full period of the tournament is, I don't know, 8 weeks. For argument's sake, just for round numbers, that's 20 grand a week, right? We expect you to commit to us for those 8 weeks. Now, if for whatever reason we don't reach the eliminator stage, and so therefore it's only 6 weeks, then fine, you release and off you can go. But I just think there needs to be a bit more structure to it and a bit.
It's what because done, right? It was J. Roy. They chose not to pick him because he was not available. So, you know.
Exactly. But do you not think that needs to be there needs to be a wider stance taken on that? Because otherwise these guys are going to basically use them a little bit, for want of a better expression, because there's only one side of this equation winning at any one point, and that's the player.
No, I disagree. I think if you look at a tournament, for example, and the Big Bash claims to be the second biggest. I don't think it is anymore. I think the SAT20 is now the biggest, second biggest. And that's solely because of the finances provided by the Indian backers. But if you're in the Big Bash, for example, and you get the opportunity to sign Joss Butler for 4 weeks. Well, I mean, we've seen it in county cricket for years. Let's not gaff about here. We've seen it in county cricket for years. Where we'll have a player for 3 weeks, then he'll go off, then you'll have a player for 4 weeks. The idea of harping back to the days in the 80s where the only people playing cricket in the English summer were England and whoever was touring England, and so you could sit and have a West Indian sign for however 5, 6, 7 years, whatever. Like Viv Richards was at Somerset for X amount of years, well, that blew up. But when you talk about whoever's winning, if Joss Butler went and signs for Melbourne Stars, let's say, for 4 games, they know they're going to get big shirt sales, an uptick in people coming to those games that he's available and everything else. So to say that it's all one way, I think, is a little naive and incorrect, if I'm honest. But
do you think that trade-off's balanced then?
I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying it.
No, but you're saying it's a balanced You're saying it's a balanced trade-off.
If it wasn't,
shirt sales and
if it wasn't, they wouldn't do it. Like Jason Roy at Oval Invincibles. Jason Roy isn't a name that's going to sell you hundreds of thousands of shirts or thousands of shirts. Let's not think we're football. Like, he's not going to sell you thousands of shirts. Chris Gayle, because of his thing, Virat Kohli, if he's available for 4 weeks before going off, going to sell you a lot of shirts. So all of a sudden, and money through the gate, TV rights in India. Like, you think of these players, like, it's... I agree a little bit with Huge, but it's like, who's going to be in control of it? Money will talk at the end of the day. And we've seen with this SAT20, how many players left early? No. Why? Because they've been paid a lot of money to be there for the whole duration.
But my question was, is there anything for them to go to? Because it's all down to the calendar, right? So if there's nothing for them to leave,
I'm pretty sure there's probably a Bangladesh league or a PSL. PSL was on at the end of it.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2.
We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So I think one thing is going to change a lot of this. I don't know if you saw the announcement that came out. I think it was yesterday or the day before. The Big Bash are now going to offer multi-year contracts for overseas players, where previously they've only been offering them single year. So now all of a sudden, that's where you'll start getting loyalty. Because if you go to a guy and you say, look, you're available. I'll give you a 3-year contract if you're available. They'll hang around because, do you know what? If they don't hang around, they might not be around next year because, you know, that multi-year.
It all depends on the money.
So I guess. Well, but this is what I'm saying. They're trying to almost like factor in that loyalty. But what they're obviously seeing from my side of the argument, not saying that I'm right and anybody else is wrong at all, but I'm saying that shows that they see this as an issue straight away. And so they're trying to counteract that already. So there is obviously a conscious plan within, you know, let's say the Big Bash in this example, to go, right, okay, we don't want the quality of the cricket in the tournament going down at what should be the best quality of cricket at the crunch end. How do we counteract that? And so they've obviously come up with this idea, right, okay, if we offer multi-format contracts, which are going to be, you know, big value money-wise for these overseas players, certainly, then this is the way that we tie them down. And so that's the way that we therefore try and maintain the quality of cricket being played in the tournament at the crunch end. On the overseas players that you just brought up, Si, I know about the county championship, something interesting, I'm not sure if you two saw it, Nathan Lyon was going to be available for the entire season for Lancashire across all formats. He's now only available for 7 games.
All that.
Now, I don't know anything about it, so I'm hypothesising here massively. Now, have the ECB maybe stepped in and said, we're a bit worried that Tom Hartley might not get any cricket? Or is that, I mean, that's a massive guess. I don't know. Would the ECB have the...
I don't think the ACB would have allowed the press release to go out that said they're the ones that brought him back to manage his workload.
Oh, is that what it was? Right, I missed it.
The ECB. Yeah. The ECB rang them up and says, can you do us a favour? Like, so, but the same's happened with someone else down. One of the other Aussies has been recalled from or told he's not coming to manage his workload. So.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, I saw something about that. I can't remember who it was exactly. Well,
For me, the only... It's difficult, isn't it? You're standing there and you look at like some of the South Africans. I think certainly in longer format cricket, like Dean Elgar's gone and signed for Essex for the whole year. He's retired from international cricket, all that kind of stuff, which I think is a great signing for them. And I like the idea of that because, again, like we're talking about with the IPL and with all these things, if you've got young Essex cricketers coming in and wanting to play that format, they've got a good coaching setup at Essex. And they've now got a very experienced senior player that can come in and work with those guys. I'm a big one on this. You've got to make it right for the players involved. And I know people will say players have too much power and all this kind of stuff. Well, yeah, because they're your product at the end of the day. Although it's a Seat Tyres, whatever it is, or a thing, they wouldn't have any advertising revenue if it wasn't for Virat Kohli, if it wasn't for Rohit Sharma, if it wasn't for Shikhar Dhawan, who's now still playing in it, and all this kind of stuff. So the players will demand it, and if they've got the enough money to make it worthwhile, then it works. I think the Big Bash took a punt this year with the fact that the Australian players would be returning, the Australian Test players would be returning at the end of the tournament, and that they would fill the gaps left by the overseas players. I think that backfired massively because a load of them didn't go and play in it, or they played one game or whatever. So,
they had another Test series, didn't they? Pretty much. Like, so I know Marnus, and I remember watching a game where Marnus and Usman Khawaja played, and then it was like, right, okay, that's our one game, and now we're off to Perth to go and play in the first Test match against.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was Pakistan or the West Indies or whatever it was.
But there you see the differences between people who you compare that situation to the South African situation, where they sacrificed the end of the Big Bash for a Test series, whereas in South Africa, they sent a bloke as captain who's not got a contract this year with Cricket South Africa, and a team full of uncontracted players, basically, in order to facilitate the end of the SAT20.
Yeah.
So it's...
But that's what makes them all the money.
So within the Australian Cricket Board knows how much Test series make them in Australia, because they've got... fill stadiums, they can do all that. Whereas in South Africa and in New Zealand, let's not muck about. South Africa would have rang New Zealand, SA Cricket Board would have rang the New Zealand Cricket Board and gone, look, we'll come, but this is the side we're sending. That's the only way we can do it. And the New Zealand Cricket Board have gone, all right, they don't get massive crowds. I mean, there's a reason they play their Test cricket at club grounds, effectively club grounds and then T20 cricket in rugby stadiums, because they know they're trying to build an atmosphere within that ground.
Well, we've spoken about that before, haven't we? Because I remember asking you, Huge, we spoke about this when the series was going on, and I think it was you who said that SA Cricket South Africa had actually gone to New Zealand Cricket and actually asked for to be shifted, hadn't they? But because the calendars and stuff, it couldn't actually physically happen.
Yeah,
so, look, we've done a lot on the IPL, unsurprisingly, because the conversations that have spanned from it tonight. So, but we are going to have to move on. We've still got Stupid Simon's Stupid Quiz, which we're very much looking forward to. No doubt Gary Kirsten's going to feature heavily. But just before that, we've had a record-breaking week, haven't we, gentlemen? It's slightly odd record to be broken. Sri Lanka, this week, playing against Bangladesh, they've come up with achieved a bit of an odd record. So they scored 531 all out, with no one within that lineup scoring 100. Now, that is the highest ever score achieved by a side without anybody scoring 100. New player in only his third test, Kamindu Mendis, was 92 and L, and has improved his average in three tests to 139.67. Well, can't wait to see what Jimmy does to him on a slightly damp green one in May. But it is... His record or his average might come tumbling down, but a bit of an odd one, chaps. But a stat and a nice thing to chat about all the same.
Yeah, absolutely, good for him. Can't wait to see him over in England. Yeah, different pitches, I suspect. But yeah, it'll be good.
Odd for no one to score 100 though within a score of that size, right?
Yeah. I mean, have Bangladesh got any hope of reaching their total? Probably not.
I don't know. I haven't seen the rest of the scorecard, to be quite honest. We shall see.
You know, right, we keep an eye on all cricket, especially when Sri Lanka are playing against Bangladesh, only when there's a record, you reckon.
We've been stuck to cricket info for the entire game.
Another shout-out, another record. True. England women.
Go on.
England's women in the first ODI. Oh. The record is now the highest biggest wicket, largest stand for the seventh wicket in an ODI.
That was Amy Jones and
Charlie Dean came to the crease when they were 79 for 6, chasing 207.
I thought you were going to say fucked. Came to the crease when they were fucked.
Well, they were, yeah.
Sorry,
they
Tim. Were.
79 for 6 off 16 overs, chasing 207. They then knocked him off the last wicket of, which is a record for the seventh wicket. Amy Jones, 92 not out from 83 balls, and Charlie Dean, 42 not out from 70 balls. They knocked it off with their 9 overs remaining. So
Charlie Dean can bat, by the way. It's not the first time she's
not so great at backing up.
No. the mancad that should never be mentioned, as no mancad should, to be fair. Right, ladies and gentlemen, one more shout out before we move on to Stupid Simon's Stupid Quiz. Jack Brooks has been in touch today just to say hello and enjoying the Gary Kirsten banter that has been flying about in the podcast the next few weeks. So we're going to be talking to old Brooksy Ferret, friend of the podcast, and seeing maybe if he might like to come back on in the next few weeks. So stay tuned. Very, very funny man. Brilliant pro for many, many a year. So yeah, we will update you with any updates about what might be going on there over the next few weeks. Right, Stupid Simon, what is your stupid quiz?
It's the same format as the previous two.
Unsurprisingly, because you can think of another theme, but you can't think of a different format.
Yeah, I mean, I can keep this theme there for a very, very long time. Now, I'm just going to have to keep the ways of shoehorning Gary Kirsten into it. Mm. Multiple levels. I'm changing it slightly because I'm going striker, non-striker, and released this week.
Okay.
So, opening the batting. One day game, I want you to pick a striker, a non-striker, and you will release him one from these three. One day game, short format. From Australia, David Warner.
Mm.
From the West Indies, Christopher Henry Gayle.
Mm. Why does everyone always call him Christopher Henry Gayle rather than just Chris Gayle?
And Brian Charles Lara. The thing about West Indians. What's common? Apart from Viv. And from South Africa... Quentin de Kock.
Holy shit.
Oh. Crikey.
I've got a feeling I know which way Jono's going to go. Just for you guys. But so first ball, who's on strike?
Are we talking about at the peak of their powers? Yeah. Are we going, or are we going?
Yeah, not now. I mean, Christopher Henry Gale's about 6'5", weighs about 34 stone,
and is 106 years old. Yeah. But he's still the boss of the universe. Yeah. So, right, Eugene, what have you got for us?
I am going to go
striker. This We're is on striker first. Who's on strike?
Oh, striker Quentin de Kock every day of the week for me.
Yeah, I thought that might be the case.
Yeah, bias. Yeah, here we go.
I mean, there was no choice. I'm like, I think he's one of the best batsmen in the world, just thrown in with a bunch of politics. But yeah, anyway, go on. Who's your striker?
Peak of their powers.
Hmm. I mean, Quentin de Kock scored 500s in a row, just saying.
I don't think you've ever seen anybody quite as destructive as Christopher Henry Gale. So that's the way I'm going.
Robert?
No, I'm going to do mine at the end. I'm in charge of this. I get to go from the rest of the year. Right.
Go on. What's the next one?
Who is non-striker and who is...
This is going to throw Jono. Jono's going to throw a wobbly here. My non-striker is Warner and Gale is released.
I mean, Eugene or Eugene. Have a fucking word.
To be fair, you've got to think about the running between the wickets, Jono.
There's no running between the wickets with Gale. And Jono's going to go, that's because he doesn't have to. He just smashes it over the boundary. Yeah.
Well, exactly that. Exactly that. I mean, how can you, in any way, shape, or form, pick Eugene sometimes? It turns out more often than not at the moment, certainly within this game, you're just disappointing me. David Warner, as we all know, can absolutely fuck off. And fuck off and fuck off and fuck off. Sorry, Tim. There is no question that he has been, over the years, a phenomenal player, but he's a cheating little weasel, and I really, really don't like him. So, and because they're all left-handers, you've not even given me a right-handed option. So I'm going to go QDK as my non-striker. And David Warner, just in case anybody was wondering, can fuck off.
It was predictable, wasn't it?
Sorry, Tim.
I'll be honest. The most interesting part of that, you're just going to be whether you went for Warner or Gale. The rest of it was just purely for my entertainment to hear a small rant regarding David Warner. But yeah,
which way you're going? Whoa! Don't think you're getting off that easily.
I've generally gone through and I'd like all three combinations. So
a wonder runner, is he?
Definitely not Chris Gale. Chris Gale is I'm
got to be on strike.
I'm going Chris Gale on strike, and I'm going Quentin de Kock.
Get him,
just because I think it'd be brilliant to watch, and I think
I tell you what,
I think it would be. Whereas I think Warner would either run Gale out or get run out.
I'm hoping he's getting run out because Gale ain't running. You two are agreeing more and more, which is starting to be very worrying.
Yeah, I suppose it is. Yeah, and highly surprising, no doubt as well.
But all three very fine players. All three very, very fine players. And also, only thing that might is if you've got a field. What I'm doing is I'm picking this in this new version of the IPL when Chris Gale can bat and then walk off.
Hmm.
They made this super sub rule a couple of years too late for him, didn't they?
To be fair, though, we've all seen it. You know, I think he did it in the World Cup a few years ago, didn't he? He'd bat, get 100, and then just go, that's me done for the day. Oi, 19-year-old, enjoy. 50 overs of the slog. I'm sorry. No, you can't bowl. No, you've just got to go and stun in the dirt for 50 overs.
To be fair, anyone that can hit Brett Lee out of the oval, be fair, he hit him very close to a Nissan Qashqai that I spent an evening in. Summer, so he can. For me, he can do what the hell he likes.
Well, I mean that story's just made my week just to even think of that experience again. So right, well, gentlemen, thank you. I mean, I'm maybe not as surprised as Simon agreeing with me as I would normally be, but you know, pleased about it all the same. Eugene, I'm surprised you didn't try and shoehorn Gary in there somewhere, but not the real Gary, not Nathan, but the GK, the mentor, as he came up on screen whilst being interviewed in the IPL the other day. Not coach, mentor. I mean, does that just make you like really, really old. Like, you know, maybe you have to be a certain age to be a mentor. I don't know.
I like the fact. Although, to be fair, I did found an article earlier today. You were like this. This was cool. This article was under the 10 best left-handed batters, most prolific left-handed openers in ODI cricket. Gary Kirsten is in the top 10.
Jesus wept. Must be a short list.
Where's 10?
Jai Saria's got to be.
Jai Saria was one. Go on, let's see if we can do this. Jai Saria is one.
Gale, de Kock, Warner. No. There's four.
No.
Hang on, who's no?
What?
Gale is five.
Are you saying there's no de
Kock? Jai Saria.
Warner is nine. De Kock's not on it.
Jesus. Right, here's a really rogue shout. Saeed Anwar.
Yes.
Get in. Now that is rogue, and that is left field.
Number four.
Pakistani opener from like the 90s.
Are they considering Sangakkara an opener?
No. Well, if they are, it ain't in the list.
Trescothy?
No. We've got an Australian, two South Africans.
Hayden.
Yeah.
Hayden.
Graham Smith.
Yeah.
Two South
Africans. I mean, you've got.
Is this modern era or is it?
Well, it's got Saeed Anwar in it, so let's not say modern.
No, but I'm thinking about maybe like Graham Pollock or something like that.
I mean, you've said Gary Kirsten and Graham Smith. Those are two South Africans, right?
Yeah. You've got one you've missed. Ten you haven't got yet, who is modern. And number three you haven't got yet. Number three, in
Adam
my
Gilchrist?
Opinion, is...
Oh, so wrong.
Adam Gilchrist?
Yes. Number three.
So number 10.
What country?
India.
No, that's too...
India?
Oh, Gautam Gambhir?
No.
Rishabh Pant?
No.
He's been mentioned on the podcast tonight. Oh, no, you've got two and 10, both Indians.
We've got two left and they're both Indians.
One's number two, one's number...
Gambhir's not one of...
One's number two and one's number 10.
And you've mentioned them on the pod. Love it.
I've mentioned number 10 on the pod.
Oh, put us out of misery, Robert. Who are they?
Number two, number 10 is Shikhar Dhawan. And number two is Sourav Ganguly.
Ganguly. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying this is from a credible article, but it's from a Sports Keeder on October the 24th in 2018.
We like to make sure that all our data is up to date.
It's only 6 years of data unaccounted for.
So, well, David Warner is just sneaky.
Well, there we go, ladies and gents. The cheating weasel, somehow in the top 10 left-handed openers of all time in white ball cricket. But yes.
What? In 2018.
Well, yeah, exactly. But gentlemen, a pleasure as always to spend this 50 minutes with you. But yeah, thank you very much. We shall reconvene at a similar time next week. Although, I know, Sunday's from now on, isn't it? So we'll probably be a bit with you sooner back to you than in a week's time. But for now, I must say thank you for the Happy Easter Gary Kirsten mentor message from James Bowker to the Slogging It boys a couple of days ago. But until we're back with you next week, it's been an absolute pleasure as always. Stay safe, stay lucky. We'll see you soon.
Cheers, boys.
Love you, bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.